The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus continued, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees them nor knows them. You know him because he abides in you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is a continuation of the farewell address in John's Gospel. It is on the heels of Jesus telling the disciples that I go ahead to prepare a place for you. Last week, I added that into a discussion about the Lord's Prayer, about praying for God's kingdom to come as earth as it is in heaven. And I've got to be honest with you, that feels like a month ago. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's with that idea that I spent all week at the Capitol, well, starting Tuesday. And I have to tell you, what I witnessed unfold over the last week in our Capitol is nothing short of demonic and evil. To watch the rights of people be stripped away so callously, while folks with power smirk and laugh in plain view, disturbed me greatly. And knowing that a majority of the folks that voted for this claim to follow Jesus baffles me, because I see no keeping of Jesus' commandments in the actions that we're taking to strip African Americans of their voting rights. Not a political issue, a partisan issue. And one may ask what this has to do with church, what this has to do with following Jesus, but unfortunately for us who have been raised in this cauldron of the United States, those two have been intertwined since the beginning. Whether that's factual or mythological does not matter. The idea that we were founded as a Christian nation has been so ingrained in our mythology that it is difficult to parse and separate. And I believe for far too long, churches have stood on the outside comfortably saying we have a separation of church and state. Whatever happens politically, we'll let go. And there have been guardrails created around that. As someone who has studied a little bit of the civil rights movement and knowing that a particular group of churches participated in that movement and a vast majority of American Christianity stayed on the sideline, knowing that folks bled and died for those rights, watching them being stripped away in such a callous, rushed manner ought to disturb all of us. Because I guarantee you there are those that claim to follow Jesus that say, we are just doing what our Christian values tell us to do. After all, we are a Christian nation. And I believe there are those of us who follow Jesus that ought to call BS on that. That the time for silence is absolutely done. And this may come across as a little hot, but to be honest, I am emotionally empty this morning, because it's hard being in a building where so much hatred is concentrated in a small place and walking away unharmed. And I am working through that. The way I connect this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is not Jesus saying, do what you're told. If you love me, you're just going to follow the rules and do what you're told. No, the verb to keep has a more powerful connotation to it. It's not this just doing, but it is to stand on the shoulders of giants, preserve and continue their work. It's not simply to keep and know that we've got them. It's to take that trajectory and live as if our lives and the well-being of the world depended on it. That's what he is telling the disciples here. That's the same message that Paul echoes from the Areopagus in Athens as he walks around and sees idols of every flavor. It's not simply to acknowledge that Jesus gave us a few things that we ought to live by, but it's knowing that that love builds and grows. And when it's challenged, it doesn't slink back and claim, well, we followed the rules. No, it pushes and expands until love and well-being envelop and become the way of the world. That was always the goal. This is one of those times that we like to reflect historically about, oh, if I would have been back in that time, I would have done something differently, or imagine what it would have been like. And I have hedged on that, thinking it might be different. But if you wanted to know what you were doing in 1933 Germany or in 1963 United States, you're doing it right now. And that doesn't come as an indictment. It comes as a wake-up call. Because it's not distance. It is not apart from what we do on a regular basis. It is intertwined because the people in power have made it so. They have so intertwined cross and flag that it looks no different than what Hitler was doing with the Lutheran Church in Germany. Which is why one of our revered saints in Lutheranism, Bonhoeffer, was executed by the very state that he saw false gods in. Very much like Paul standing on that hill to the Athenians saying, you think you worship God, but you are so far from it you can't even see it. And so I say this, again, not as an indictment, but more of a wake up, folks. I would love to be talking about anything else today. I would love to have done anything else than what I did this week. But for me, as a leader of faith, whose ordination vows demand not only pastoral leadership, but public leadership, I cannot look away from what's happening. And it would be disingenuous for me to have us stick our heads in the sand this morning and think that everything's okay. Because it's not. The house is on fire, friends, and the call is coming from inside. So if you love me, you will keep my commandments. How are we standing on the shoulders of those who come before us, those who we revere in this church? Paul, who very aggressively spread the message around the Mediterranean world, who was run out of more than one town for preaching the gospel. And he didn't get in trouble so much for preaching Jesus. He got in trouble for preaching economics. That's the part we miss. That the economic reality of following Jesus looks markedly different than what the world demands. And it's not so much the preaching of Jesus that got Paul in trouble. It was when people started spending their money differently. It's when people started acting differently. And they pointed to Paul and said, that's what he told us about Jesus. That's when he got into trouble. So when I tell you we need to pay attention to how we work economically, that's Paul and Luther. Luther wrote a lot about economics and community, another one of our giants on whose shoulders we stand. We have to take Luther with a grain of salt because so much of what he wrote later in life was used in a negative way by those very same church leaders in 1930s Germany. And it became a great stain on the history of mankind. But he's not wrong about debt and usury and how we come together in community. He's not wrong in connecting with what we do to our neighbor to how we treat Christ. that we, when we become Christians, when we are baptized, we embody who Christ is, and the whole world around us is an embodiment of Jesus. And so we treat our neighbor as we would treat Jesus. We treat the stranger as we would treat Jesus. Dare I say, we treat the enemy as we would treat Jesus, to push Luther further than I think he would have gone. Or even some of the modern folks of that civil rights movement, thinking about the faith that led them to confront the things that they confronted, to stare down evil embodied, and to take it with the mindset that we are not viewing those as the enemy, but as sick people in need of healing. That at the end of the day, we are all bound up in this experiment together, that as a people, we will not get through this if we are divided. And everything, Civil Rights Act was passed, things seemed to progress. But those practices, that ideology of power does not go away, and anyone who tries to seek it for their own benefit is walking a very thin line that always leads the same place. It's just another one of those idols that Paul talked about. Power, ego, whatever you want to call it. Well, right now we can put a name on it specifically in 2026. It is the idolatry of white supremacy and Christian nationalism that are driving us to this fracturing point. We can name them specifically because we see it. It's in the screens that we carry in our hands. It's constantly in the national news. Folks have tried to warn us about documents that are public knowledge that have been written, that this has been the plan for 50 years. And it has been laughed at and said, no, you're overreacting. It is not an overreaction. Because when people do things in the name of Jesus, they claim it to have great power. And don't think that it will just stop at one person's rights or one race's rights. And so again, this is a call to wake up and think about what we are doing as people of God in this world that so badly needs this love, that so badly needs the way of Jesus, that looks out for the stranger, the neighbor, the family, that desires us coming together at the same table. Jesus didn't die because he was creating a new religion. He died because he was challenging what was deemed power in the world. And when people started acting differently, when they started playing by the rules of the kingdom or the way Jesus was moving into the world, when he challenged the way things were, that's what got him into trouble. It wasn't that he loved people, it's that he dared to feed people. It wasn't that he healed people, it was that he dared to heal people on the Sabbath, or he dared to heal people, but not in the right way. I realize that talking points like this are not popular. I understand that, and I see some of the tension in the room. Trust me, I'm right there with you. But I don't see another way forward if we're not honest about what's happening, because it's going to bury all of us. And I mean that, because I saw it in the eyes of people who smiled at the opportunity to do what their grandfathers couldn't do, and that's make African-Americans second-class citizens, to move us back toward enslavement. Because that's exactly what is happening. If you look at the mechanics of the laws that they are writing, that is what is happening. White supremacy, Christian nationalism. We have to be real about that. So what is it that we as a church do in the following of Jesus? Be present. Be awake. Now, don't dive in and start absorbing all of what's happening, because it will overwhelm you. Trust me. It's very easy to get buried in the negativity. and trying to wrap our minds about what's going on. So let's not dive full force and become overwhelmed initially, but being awake in this world is absolutely integral to what's going on. Community connectivity. How are we in relations right in our neighborhoods? Do you know your neighbors? And I've preached on this a lot in the last year and a half. Do we know who lives on our streets? Do we know parents who whose kids go to school with our schools? Do we know the folks that we run to in the supermarkets? Because that's the reality that we're going to deal with moving forward. They can write all the laws that they want, but it's still going to unfold in real time, in real space, right where we're at. So knowing our neighbors, absolutely integral to this process. I'm going to say, encouraging people to be participants in democracy is absolutely integral. We need to register a whole lot of folks to vote. Tennessee is the worst when it comes to voting because people think in the state, my vote doesn't matter. Well, you know what it does? Because it elects county clerks, town officials. It starts at the bottom where we live our lives. And yes, it works us all the way up to governor and all that stuff, but we elect people that deal with real matters in our communities that affect real people. And so thinking about the midterm elections, the primaries in August, we need to have a movement to say, hey, let's participate in this. And it doesn't have to come from a place of, we're asking you to be political. No, we're asking you to participate in something that actually matters. And to not say, oh, it just doesn't count. No, it absolutely does. It matters. The other thing is to keep coming back to your neighbor, to your family, to remain present, to strengthen those relationships, because that stability is what sustains. It's not just that Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's that he goes on to say, I will give you another advocate. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, who will be with you forever. But the Holy Spirit is the one that knits us together. It's that connective tissue of the body of Christ out in the world and strengthening that connective tissue, much like going to the gym or much like working out in other ways, is the way we move forward. I'm not one, nor can I, predict the future. Nobody's been able to do that. But I do know the promises to cling to. That God is present, that Christ is resurrected, and that the Spirit is a free gift from God, connecting us for work in this world. There are questions coming forward that will ask of each of us, what do I mean by following Jesus? If those questions aren't already being asked or entertained, we need to pay attention to what Jesus is saying. Because one flavor of Christianity, I'm telling you right now, does not have it right anywhere close. Because if they truly loved Jesus and followed his commandments, they would not be so gleefully erasing the rights and existence of so many people. Please pray with me. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts that you have given us, for this place to be, for its deep history, for the ways that you have sustained and connected your movement in this world. I ask for strength, for clarity, for discernment, for the work that we have ahead, that we may find a way to do it together, that we may find those connections within our community of those who say, yes, we are following Jesus in love, that we want to make the world a healthier, better place, and that we would find the strength to sustain that, to lift each other up, to help each other heal so that we can be fully present in the world that you created, in a world that you love, in a world that you redeemed, and in a world that you have not left. A world where you have called us to be your disciples. Amen.